And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Abe Isaac. This is the Green Roundtable, and it's so nice to have the show. You know, this is one of the older shows on Breakthrough Thinking. Did you guys know that?
Are you calling us old?
No, you got a nice new haircut. Eric Koss, let's give Eric a round of applause. All right, yay, Eric. Hey. Okay, no one heard that one. Anyway, you're young. We have a youthful group here in spirit, heart, and soul. Am I right, Glenn Gormley?
I'm only 34, so I feel young.
Yeah, this is good. And Frank's not in the studio yet, so we can make fun of him. No, I'm just kidding. Frank has a nice youthful heart and spirit. Doesn't
it? That's what counts, right?
It really does. I think it's.
And that's why we call him Uncle Frank.
Yeah, Uncle Frank is back in studio. Hey, Uncle Frank.
Hello, yeah.
Hey, there he is. He's coming in. Anyway, let's go. Before we get to our very special guest, and of course, it's going to be Josh Hartman, Director of Planning and Development for Pulte Homes. That is awesome. The Pulte Group, actually.
Yes, without the V.
Without the thee, but thee, I pledge to thee. Okay, so Eric, why don't we, it's been about a month or so, give a few words about yourself?
Well, my name's Eric Koss, and I'm the owner of Koss Design and Build, and we're an architecture and construction company, and we focus mostly on residential and small commercial projects, and we're always pushing kind of sustainable builds and kind of greening up everything we can.
Well, that's awesome, and I know you have a real heart and passion for the green movement.
Absolutely,
that makes a difference because you see people that just get into the industry because there's nothing else to do. That's not the reason to go into green, right? Let's go to Glenn Gormley on that.
Absolutely. I mean, I would look at my situation. Spent 30 years in the trash business. And made a career choice and entered the green field. But like Eric had just said, I'm very passionate about what I'm doing. And at the end of the day, I'm in the business of educating.
Yeah.
We've got to create change, but we've got to bring more awareness as to, why we've been doing things a certain way and how can we create change.
And that makes sense. And of course, you're from Infinite Green. Why don't you tell a little bit about what you do?
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave. I'm Glenn Gormley. I'm the owner of Infinite Green Solutions. We're an organization that is challenging, Phoenix, other parts of the country. Why are we using chemicals or poisons to clean when we do have alternatives? And that's the focus behind our business in helping others to understand that they have a choice.
And that's the education part,
it's
too.
It's the education part of what our business is all about.
You know, we were talking, you and I think you were on the Entrepreneurial Spirit about a week or so ago. And we were talking off the air, and maybe it was on the air, where people are taught, or I want to say brainwashed, like more suds means cleaner. Remember that?
Yeah,
and
I thought that,
but that's not necessarily true, right, guys?
No. Or even coloring, adding coloring to it.
Yeah. It's a gimmick. It's a marketing gimmick. So you're out there educating like, wait, that may mean the opposite even.
Well, here's a great example. Today somebody was telling me something as simple as applesauce. They wanted to buy applesauce, and they saw natural, and they saw another product. Well, they looked at the label, and there was a coloring added to the product. It was a clear choice that they bought the other product because of the coloring that had been added. So we look at the same when we deal with how we clean and how habits have been developed over these years. If you think it's going to work better, I'm going to add more.
Yeah.
It's going to work better if it has more suds. And really, we have a product line that works just the opposite, less is more. And remember, to win a race, slower is actually faster.
Pacing yourself.
Less mistakes. And these are the things that we're involved in. We're having a great time with that.
Talking about pacing yourself, I was in Las Vegas for the last 4 or 5 days, and they had the Rock and Roll Marathon there, 26 miles. Pacing was very important.
So what was your time?
Oh, yeah. I'm still running. I'm the first one that really is. I actually got my motor scooter out, and they allowed it. So, but no, that they had 30,000 people running. How? I couldn't believe it. 30,000.
Fantastic.
It was incredible. Yeah, and I won the race. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you for that, because I think that's part of the education process. People do not realize that less can be more, or less could be better. And I think that's a very important point.
But I think the other point too, Dave, is that it's every part of our lives that are impacted by making these decisions. We've got to take the time to educate ourselves, ask questions. Why follow? Why not be the leader in this situation?
And
for
the,
your family, for yourself, for others, and then change starts to happen.
And the products are available. That's the thing. They are here. The thinking is here. You and Eric and Frank, you all have, you know, these things available to people. It's a matter of knowing and choosing, doing the right thing.
Well, in another example of that, how I was saying, hey, it goes beyond just that product. A lot of the affordable housing issues that, you know, I deal with on some projects, we have people that have just poured bleach into their, you know, washing machine for years. And you do an affordable housing project that, you know, everything kind of affects the next piece down the line. And now we've got our gray water being used for landscaping that's coming right out of the washing machines, and trying to educate people again that, hey, we can't fill these things up with bleach. We need to use good biodegradable, you know, very natural products. And, you know, some people on some projects in the past, some people really get into it. They figure it out right away. And we've had other people that, even though they had a washing machine in their own unit, are walking across the street to the laundromat where they can use bleach because they've always used it. And but slowly, you know, in a community like that, a lot of these affordable housing areas are very tight-knit communities. And eventually, it might take 2 or 3 years, everyone usually comes around, and usually through education, finally gets there.
And asking a pointed question, why do you choose bleach? Well, mom did, and grandma did.
There was a survey that was done, and that's exactly what everyone said.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And these are things that we need to change.
Incredible. Frank Clemente, welcome back.
Hello, Dave.
How are you? You're the, like, I want to say the granddaddy of the Green Roundtable. And I don't mean that in chronological years.
Oh, you don't?
Okay, maybe I do. No, you were the original. The original granddaddy.
Yes.
We're going to call you. Hey, granddad. Okay, so
yes,
tell.
I'm the green granddaddy.
The green giant. The green dad. The green granddad. So tell us a little bit about what's happening.
Well, what I'm doing is green sustainable landscaping, rainwater harvesting, and I'm developing raised bed gardens for people. So that, and also I'm working in areas to design a complex community, which will be able to help people to live a green lifestyle.
Oh, that's sort of nice. A green lifestyle.
So all these gentlemen here, whatever their products and their skills could be applied, all there.
Wow, I think that is excellent, because that's where the trend will be, if it's not already. It's about health and wellness. Am I right?
It is.
Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely.
It is the highest ranking issue in the American families today, besides the economy.
Well, that and it ties into the economy, too. I mean, with more green stuff, there'd be more jobs, wouldn't there?
Yes, absolutely. More green jobs.
Yeah, like the Green Giant. Remember that?
Yes.
The Valley, do that commercial.
Should I imagine?
Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah, see, Kurt remembers it. Well, let's go to our special guest on line one. We have Josh Hartman, Director of Planning and Development, the Pulte Group. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you for being on. Of course, I think you know Frank a little bit. And Frank, why don't you start off with Josh? And I know you have a bunch of questions.
Well, Josh, he has been wonderful. He's put together a program for us, and he has developed some very interesting things to say. And so I kind of leave it open now for Josh. May tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, and a little bit about the company.
Oh, with that introduction, I hope I don't disappoint. Well, let me.
I see he's quick-witted too.
Yes.
Sounds like from the listening in, it sounds like I need to be with this group.
Yeah, it's a great group.
Definitely. Well, I can just tell you a little bit about myself. I'm the director of planning, as Frank indicated, which means my full-time job with Pulte is working on developing subdivisions, getting them ready for home construction. So I work with folks like Frank and Eric to put together the land plan and the landscaping and that sort of thing. And then I also am the green building representative for Pulte in Arizona. And in that role, I take the lead on our partnerships with research groups like Arizona State University and Build America and Department of Energy on our green initiatives within the company. So, and then Pulte, as you guys probably know, Pulte Group is one of the largest home builders in America. and we've got operations in 76 markets across the United States. And we have three brands that are all under the Pulte Group umbrella, which is Pulte Homes, Del Webb, and Centex. So you might have heard of one or all three of those.
Oh, I didn't know you were part of Del Webb was part of you.
Yep, the Pulte Homes bought Del Webb back in, probably 2004, 2005.
Wow.
And then more recently this year, Pulte also acquired Centex. So we're one of the few multi-brand home builders in the country.
You know, I'm just thinking questions off the top of my head here is how has the economy the last couple of years affected Pulte Homes?
Well, we've struggled, obviously, as everyone has. Pulte is traditionally a very conservative company financially. So today we're in really good shape financially. I think the number is we've got $2.7 billion in cash, which allows us
to buy a bank.
Yeah. I keep on wondering when I'm going to get a piece of that, but I'm not really.
Yeah, is there any kind of Pulte stimulus package out there yet? I'm sure our audience would like to know.
So we've struggled from a business standpoint, obviously, but from a market share standpoint, we've increased market share, and we're in a pretty sound financial position from a cash standpoint or from an operability standpoint. So we're doing okay, and we think that it was time for a correction, and we all realize that now, and we're suffering consequences of some of those things. But I think that it's better for everyone in the long run to have a more sustainable home building and home buying market.
Well, Josh, thank you very much for that. What questions have you answered, or what questions do you have?
Well, I think one other thing I wanted to talk about, being the green program, I wanted to talk about some of Pulte's green initiatives and kind of how we've looked at the green market as it's become something of a hot button within the greater Phoenix area and also across the country.
Yes.
And we spent a lot of time really thinking about what is our goal towards green building or just towards sustainability in general.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, you know, whether you're buying a Pulte, Del Webb, or Centex homes, really our primary objective is to provide the buyer with a really good value in their home. And to that end, we focus on energy efficiency as really our core platform, our core quote-unquote green platform, if you will. And
yes.
We partnered for a long time with Energy Star, and we've been an Energy Star builder for over 15 years. We built more Energy Star homes than any other builder, both in Phoenix and across the country. And so as you're doing energy efficiency and trying to get to a greater efficiency of just on the energy side, you also do a lot of other things, which you address things like indoor air quality by putting our ventilation in the right place and building a tight home and controlling kind of your indoor air quality, and also just your home comfort by doing things like putting jump ducts in and things like that. So as a result of our desire to be an energy efficient builder, we've also addressed some other green principles, and we think it's been a benefit to us from many perspectives. From a marketing perspective, it's better, but also from a warranty perspective, it's better. If you build a better home, you have less warranty issues. The home buyers are happier. Hopefully they buy your homes in the future. Being a big home builder, we want to make sure that we have repeat customers. So we don't want somebody to buy our home and live in it for a few years and say, this thing is garbage, never buy a Pulte home again. We want people to repeat buy our homes. And so we think that providing them with a very comfortable and energy efficient home works in that direction. And we really find that they're surprised at how much money they save on their energy. And that maybe speaks to our marketing message surrounding energy. Maybe we don't explain that well enough during the sales of our homes. Is people are shocked at the savings and the cost of their energy in our homes once they move in from their old homes. So we think that creates a great value for them, and they really appreciate that.
Josh, are you getting involved, and I'm sure you are, is the solar panels and things like that most people talk about?
Yes. We have two communities currently that we're selling solar at, our Sun City Festival project in North Buckeye and our Sun City Merrill Ranch project in Florence, and we have solar options there. Our partner is Sun Power, who does a lot of solar. They actually are considered to be one of the top solar companies as far as the efficiency of their systems.
Mm-hmm.
So we have those options out, and the reason we selected our active adult communities, Sun City, Maryland, Sun City Festival, is because we feel that the active adult buyer, one, has a really strong interest in controlling their monthly costs. If they can say they can install solar and know that that's going to help control their costs over several years, that's a huge benefit for them because many of them have fixed income and they can kind of assure that and budget for it. The other thing is that a lot of our active adult buyers also have they have equity to buy a home over and above maybe the appraised value, and so sometimes they can buy solar. It doesn't necessarily balance these days, and so if they can, but if they see the value in it, they have the financial wherewithal to go ahead with solar.
Glenn, do you have a question?
I actually do. Josh, you're hitting on some really great points. The big point is value. And I've got to applaud you and your organization for really getting yourself in the position that you're in, where you do have the cash reserves. You understand that this market will come back around. And, I mean, my experience has been that, you know, only the strong survive. But even if we're the strong guy on the block, we've got to change, you know, what we're delivering to the customer. And when you talk value, customers today are looking for that value. The best example that I've had recently presented to me was just in drywall, how we went and looked at better pricing on drywall, and we wound up getting a product in that really didn't meet the needs, you know, of our clients. And now we're starting to look at, well, maybe, you know, that bottom line price wasn't the most important thing. We need to deliver better quality. The reason I bring that up in my business, I'm looking at a tremendous amount of my customers that are chemically sensitive. And when you buy a home, I mean, there's a lot of products that are used in the homes that affect those that have chemical sensitivity issues.
And allergies.
Mm-hmm. And so when we start to look at, you know, explaining to our customers why we're going down this path, why we're the breakout company, you know, why we're making these choices for you, that equates to value. So I applaud you and the organization for stepping out and taking that position on value. I think it's important.
Well, I appreciate that, Glenn. And you actually said a key thing earlier. You mentioned education, and I think Eric jumped in on that as well. That's really the biggest challenge that we see on selling our homes is really how do we help them understand that added value of the energy efficiency and explain to them how, you know, yes, there may be a slight increase in cost of the home to do these things, but the savings on the back end is worthwhile and it's a long-term savings. And we're willing to go out there and do those extra things to make the home as more a greater value. And trying to explain that and educate the buyers on that is probably one of our bigger challenges.
Eric has some questions.
Josh, I was wondering, you mentioned that you're meeting some of the Energy Star requirements in your homes. I was wondering, have you guys looked into some of the other certification programs, like through the National Association of Home Builders or maybe the LEED program? And what do your homeowners, what are the people that are coming to you, do they know about these programs when they see Energy Star certified? Is it meaning something to them, or what's their take on it and what you guys have done?
Sure. No, that's a great question. And we looked into that quite a bit to try and find out what the most recognized green brand is. Mm-hmm. And we actually found that Energy Star had the greatest brand recognition among our home buyers. And one thing to keep in mind when we're talking about Pulte home buyers, and you guys all realize this, is that we're a large home builder. We're not looking for a niche market. We want to sell homes to anyone who wants to buy a home that can appreciate the value that we bring. So we want to have our marketing message speak to the most possible people. So we went, when we did our research, we found that Energy Star had the greatest brand recognition, which isn't that surprising considering how long Energy Star has been around in appliances and lighting and things like that. We have looked at LEED, and we worked with them on developing their program and also with National Association of Home Builders. We're very involved with them. Those programs we haven't found to bring an added value necessarily at this point, mm-hmm. but that may change in the future. So we've stuck with Energy Star, and then we also do Environments for Living, which is a third-party certification program. And there's various levels, including a green level. We did do a green community in Phoenix that was EFL Green certified, and that's called Cabrillo Point. It's located up in Peoria at 75th Ave and Bell Road. And that was our first project that was labeled green, I would say.
What was the name of that third-party certifier again?
It's Masco Corporation, and the program is Environments for Living.
Okay, and is that a national program then, or local?
It is a national program.
All right.
And their requirements are basically, not to get too much into detail, but it's Energy Star. So that's the that's the starting point of their program. And Energy Star, as you may know, has a certification requirement on it. So they do our certification for Energy Star, which is in Arizona. That's through APS or SRP.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's other things that they require, certification of our building materials from sustainable sources. They have air exchange requirements. We do testing on 1 in 7 homes to certify that we've met the tightness requirements, and we've met the performance requirements, you know, doing checking the heat transfer through the walls and things to ensure that we've got quality construction. So 1 in 7 homes, in some cases we do more than that, but you figure if we do 1,000 homes a year, you know, that's a lot of testing that we do to ensure quality in our homes.
Well, Josh, that's a powerful part of the message. Documentation is what I find that most of my customers are looking for, because they're hanging in that gray area where they know that they want to make a difference in their lives, but they just need this warm and fuzzy feeling. And it goes back to another thing that you brought up, awareness. We know that a little extra money up front to get the right products, to get you know, the proper home to the customer, is going to pay large dividends in years to come. But we've got to get the customer to understand that, you know, this is an investment of a lifetime. I mean, if you're going to keep the home for 10, 20 years, the little bit that you're paying up front for the extra is going to you know, pay huge rewards in years to come. But I also think that with your company's position, which you just said, you know, you're not looking for that niche part of the market. You're looking for the larger part of the market, the homeowner that wants to buy that home. Believe it or not, in years to come, you guys are going to be in the driver's seat, because that's going to be the largest part of the market. People are going to be looking for the type of home that you guys are going to build. Or that you're building. Correct. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Frank.
And to your point, Frank, we're continually improving. So it'll be,
yeah.
You know.
It's great.
As people come around, we'll, in fact, mentioning Energy Star, we're currently at the Energy Star version 2.5, which is I believe it's a 25% greater energy efficiency than a code-built home today.
Wow.
And then by the end of this year, we're analyzing it, but it looks likely that we're going to go to a 30%. The new Energy Star version 3, which is a 30% increase in energy efficiency over a code-built home. So that's looking at a code-built home. Then if you look at that versus maybe what someone's living in today that was built, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, there's an even greater disparity in the energy efficiency of our home. So exactly right. I mean, we believe that customers are going to be looking for that, and they're going to see that value. And we're really pushing for, even the way we try and sell it, is to look at what's the total cost of home ownership. And a lot of times people look at that and they look at the MLS and see PITI, that acronym, which stands for principal, interest, tax, and insurance. We'd like to add E on the end of that, energy efficiency. Let's look at not just those costs, but what's the energy efficiency of the home, and consider that when you're looking at how much someone can afford when they're purchasing a home, and get people in that mentality of thinking, greater energy efficiency means I can buy more home. Greater energy, you know, energy efficiency can mean I can buy more homes. And that fits in with kind of the message we're trying to make, is to say, listen, these homes are not only, you know, newer with the latest technology and building techniques, but they're also cost savings to you through energy efficiency. And how do you make that message kind of ubiquitous in the market so consumers can understand that and shop accordingly?
Well, that leads to my question, Josh. How are you visualizing or planning or thinking about increasing the educational component of what you're marketing?
That is an excellent question. That if you have an answer for me, I'd love to hear it. But
be off the record. We can meet later.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Okay, so we skip that one.
No, I think, you know, we just continually try and push the message of the energy efficiency, and we do. Today, with that Environments for Living program, this is one of the reasons that we go with that program, is that there's a guaranteed energy costs for heating and cooling.
Yes.
And it's right in the front of the house. And
oh, so fantastic.
Talking with a potential buyer, that's a talking point. They see that thing that says this house guaranteed no more than, call it $80 a month in heating and cooling costs. That's a talking point that not only gives our salespeople a segue into bringing, you know, to talking about that and giving the information, but also allows the buyer to see it and bring up the question themselves and see what that and find out what that's all about.
And we know that worked on the refrigerator and the water heater.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
This is Eric again. I was curious. I recently was at a conference where I saw a lot of people speaking about some affordable housing programs that were in California. And what they had done, they'd done a lot of the things that you're doing, you know, really trying to be green, really trying to be energy efficient. And in a few areas, they were able to get some grant money to go back in and survey these really tight-knit communities to really see how some of these maybe green initiatives and changes, A, how they were affecting the people, and B, how were they changing their lifestyle? Were they doing things differently? Were they really taking advantage of the green programs? And are you guys instituting or do you plan on doing anything like that? Or have you been able to find a way to see, kind of quantify what you're doing, these changes that you've made? And you know, are they helping or, you know, really what's going on with them?
That's a great segue, Eric. Thanks. I always,
Again, you can take care of that off the air.
Off the air as well, okay. I might have been at the same conference as you. We, Pulte recently teamed up with a group out of California called the, Building Industry Research Alliance that submitted for a grant through Build America to study energy efficiency in residential homes, and both resale homes and new homes. And we were awarded that grant, and we're currently working with BIRA is the Building Industry Research Alliance, mm-hmm. and the Build America to develop a program to study many aspects of energy efficiency, one of which is looking at the behavioral science of the energy efficiency products we're putting in the home. Some of the questions out there are, if you put a home energy monitor on the wall in every home and people can see that when they flip on, when they leave lights on upstairs and they go and turn them off, they can see the energy reduction on the monitor. Does that affect people's behavior or does it not?
You know, it's funny you bring that one up because it reminds me of there was a student center, not a student center, but there was a dormitory in Chicago at IIT a couple of years ago. And what they did is they put a huge plasma screen TV in. They actually pieced a whole bunch of them together in the lobby. So every student that came in and out saw this plasma screen TV. But the TV was like a giant aquarium. And every person was assigned their own fish, and you got to make your own little kind of mini fish on the aquarium. And if your particular dorm room was saving lots of money, your fish was swimming really fast and it was swimming circles around everyone. And if your dorm room was just an energy hog, it turned into this big, fat, bloated fish. And they said that students really paid attention to it.
Well, I believe that. We're going to go on a break. Josh, stay on the line if you can. And you're listening to the Green Roundtable. Eric Husk, Lynn Gormley, Frank Clementi, and we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hello, folks. This is Bob Lee with Savings Society. What if there's a way you could join our club and save up to 50% off and sometimes 60% off your prescription medicines, your airline tickets, your food bill, even your gasoline bill. Give us a call here at Saving Society, 623-242-5151. Again, 623-242-5151. We're making people wealthy. Thank you.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is the Green Roundtable, the first Tuesday of every month from 3 to 4. And let's welcome a caller on line 2. I believe it's Craig. Craig, are you there?
Actually, it's me.
It's Leanne. I thought it was
Craig. Oh, Leanne.
They told me. See,
your voice has changed.
Yeah, is my producer confusing me? It says he types in Leanne, but he says it's Craig. What is going on here?
And that's funny because I wasn't here, and when your producer came on, Craig said, "Yes, it's Leanne."
Oh, oh. Well, I've seen that show before.
Yes, you
so,
have.
So, Leanne, how are you?
I'm
missed
great.
You already, and it's only been a day.
Hey, I missed you guys too, and it's a great show, and it's definitely something that we should all be interested in. You know, our community and green environment and our sustainable homes, what a more important thing could we be talking about?
There's no doubt. Let me introduce you to Josh Hartman, who's Director of Planning and Development for the Pulte Group. Josh, meet Leanne.
Hey, Leanne, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. You know, Josh, I have my own window company as well for 26 years, so I'm very aware of the importance of energy, and we've, you know, worked very closely with providing people with the right kind of products for their needs, so this is perfect.
Yeah, it's a windows are a critical part of our energy envelope.
Yes, and education, like you said, that you got a question that kind of stumps you, and that is the challenge. How do we educate the public into moving towards a new direction? We're so comfortable with our existing lifestyles that we need to recreate ourselves as a community.
So, Leanne, how would you do that then?
Yes, there
let's
go.
Have a little discussion. How would you
re-educate? You need to hire me.
Again, another off-the-air yeah. answer.
Yeah, or Leanne, is it one product, one step at a time?
No, I think it's I don't even think it begins about the products, because being a window person, I could say, well, it's all about windows, but it's not. It's about educating people into changing their lifestyles, changing what we have seen as we've created this vision of what success is and what we're the Western community, what we're Western civilization, you know, big properties, big wide open spaces. And with that, we've lost, really, I think, a sense of community. And so it can all be blended together with being responsible for our earth and developing, reconnecting community that we've lost.
And I think this is what Josh is working on and Pulte is working on. They're helping create communities. Is that right, Josh?
Absolutely. I mean, we have a long history of doing master plan communities and trying to bring people together and have kind of a comprehensive plan that allows people to interact within the communities and have opportunities for outdoor activities where they can get to know each other.
Which is Del Webb's philosophy for many, many years, so it's a perfect partnership, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Del Webb really brought Pulte to the next level of community master planning and trying to think of the needs of people and trying to give, really a great lifestyle experience.
In fact, I was just looking at your Pulte product up there in Fireside, because I'm getting ready to list my house, and my son and I are going to move into. And we were looking at where do we move? What do we look at and what do we want? And we actually were in Fireside and saw the Pulte product where it is a looks like they are townhomes or condominiums, and they're clustered together, and I like that.
Yeah, those are great. Those are great, and they're a low maintenance. So it's kind of a lock and leave type of option. Has all the same green type things that we put in all the rest of our homes. They're built to Energy Star and everything, but they also, it's such a nice thing to have a house where you can just come home and throw your work things on the counter and head out and go have dinner, not have to worry about mowing the lawn or checking on things or fixing something on the house. So those are a great option for people. And if you want a Pulte home, give me a call.
we'll send her a CD, Josh.
Yeah, exactly.
We are seriously looking at that. We're going to go back out there tomorrow morning because we love Del Webb, you know, the whole community philosophy there, the community center, the fitness, the park, the pools. It provides you with everything you want. And like you said, to be able to have that freedom. I want that freedom again. Yeah. I don't want to spend my weekends mowing the yard and maintaining my house that we've said is deemed the ideal of success.
Well, what I hear you saying, Leanne, is that possibly or maybe Pulte Group has created an environment that's easy for you to assimilate and to become a part of and yet enjoy the benefits of green and sustainability technology.
Well said, Frank.
Very well said.
And again, the most important thing, capturing some extra time. You're not interested in, you know, taking care of the yard work or maintaining, you know, different areas of the home. And that was a key point that you brought up also, Leanne.
Yeah, it's important.
You're
I want
hired.
Time. I want my time. And so
time.
I was very impressed with the product, and we're going back tomorrow morning to look at it.
Fantastic.
Well, Josh.
I'll let you talk to Craig, because I know Craig has something to say, too. He's never at a loss for words. So here he is, okay?
All right, good
See
luck in your
later.
Home shopping.
Yes.
Thank you.
Glenn and Dave and Frank.
Hey, Craig, how are you?
Good. How dare you have a show without me?
Well, we're just daredevils, that's all.
I have one question to ask you, and then I'll listen because we're going into a meeting.
Yes.
I have read that you can actually over-insulate your house to the point where it doesn't breathe properly. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, actually, it can be true. If you seal your home up extremely tight, you need to find ways to bring in fresh outside air. Because our older homes, the way they breathe is they had leaky windows and leaky joints. And when you went open the door and came in and out, that's how you got your fresh air. Homes today can get so tight that we have special, lots of times they're called energy recovery units, or maybe the exhaust fans are hooked up for fresh air intake. So there's systems we do that way now to help you out.
And Craig, let me answer your question from the commercial point of view. Architects who've put together buildings in Germany and in other parts of and Canada, they have found that they need to have windows to open up to get fresh air as opposed to using mechanical systems. And it also helps people, they feel better and they
Absolutely, and they
work, you know, in a happier state.
Great.
Thank you.
You guys keep up your great show.
Joshua, what is your thought on that?
Oh, I was just going to add same thing you guys said and not a whole lot different other than the program that I mentioned. That's part of the program, actually, because we built such a tight home. There's a requirement in the Environments for Living for a fresh air exchange rate in the home because it's such a tightly built home that you want to make sure you're getting fresh air so you don't get stale indoor air.
Well, you know, Glenn, it's almost like the exhaust systems in restaurants. You have to have enough fresh air coming into the exhaust for it to be balanced and work.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thanks for
thank you.
Take care. Keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks, Craig, for calling in.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
Hey, Josh, I was kind of curious, too. We've talked a lot about kind of the individual house and the things you're doing to make it green. And then when Leanne and Craig called, we started talking about the community a little bit more. And I was wondering how things have maybe changed on the front end of developing these neighborhoods an overall development in terms of your roads and utilities and green spaces and the relationships between these buildings and that sort of thing. Does that get tied into much of what you're doing?
To some extent, I think that over the past, say, 10 years while I've been in the industry, the big change that I've seen comes way on the front end, which has a lot to do with trying to recover all the plant material, natural plant material from the site. You know, there's requirements for certain plant materials that we have to save, saguaros and such, but then there's also other plants out there that we don't have to save. We could just, you know, run them over, which we don't do. We save as many of those as we can and incorporate that into the landscaping. And that provides a much more natural-looking environment out at the communities. And also, you know, it makes everyone conscious of water efficiency, I think, because if someone lives in a community where all the landscaping, there's a lot of turf and a lot of non-native plants, and then they go to landscape their yard, what are they going to use? A lot of turf, a lot of non-native plants. So we try to provide a kind of an indirect incentive for our homeowners to follow our lead in doing more zero landscaping, that sort of thing. As far as other items, the big thing, and this is a question that's been really, I've really struggled with being on the planning and development side, is the biggest challenges we run into is what's allowed under the current municipal development codes and guidelines. And those are often really kind of slow to change, and for a reason, because we don't want to be going kind of willy-nilly and changing the development codes all the time and having different targets and not really having a vesting of those things. But it also makes it challenging sometimes if you want to do something a little bit out of the ordinary. Say you want to do narrower streets, or you want to use a different material for your parking lots. Sometimes those aren't allowed within the code. And so we try and work with the municipalities to develop more progressive codes. In fact, a great example is the city of Phoenix is developing a green building code, and we've been talking with them. They're just kicking that off, but they want to try and address that issue and have kind of an alternative code that you can use if you choose, and we want to work with them to do that. So in order to get those changes, to be able to do some of those more progressive development techniques, we need to have some changes to the code, and we want to work with municipalities in trying to go that direction.
Josh, Glenn here again. I've got a question. What is Pulte looking as far as reducing or addressing with their subcontractors products and disposal issues that come off of new home construction?
And before you answer that, we're going to go on a break, but Josh, stay with us because this is a great discussion. And this is the Green Roundtable. We'll be right back. Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is the Green Roundtable. We have special guest Josh Hartman, Director of Planning and Development for the Pulte Group. Glenn Gormley, you had a great question. You want to re-summarize that?
Yeah, I really would. Josh, I guess the point I'm trying to make, how is Pulte challenging their subcontractors to take a look at reducing you know, the amount of products that are being thrown away off these job sites. I spent 30 years in the waste industry. I saw a tremendous amount of waste. And I think that if we address it with our subcontractors, it puts a little bit more ownership in what all, you know, what we can all do to reduce these products that are being disposed of.
Sure, that's a great question. Pulte is unique in Arizona in that we have a manufacturing facility, and so we build our own trusses and joists, and we create our own packages for home construction. So an order from a house comes into our manufacturing facility, and we put together basically a complete package that goes onto a truck and gets hauled out to the site, and we have very little waste. And the reason is that when we build our own trusses, obviously we are very efficient with our design to make sure that we're using as little lumber as we can. And then any lumber that's cut off goes into a chipping and is made into a mulch and then is used for various uses of mulch, either for landscaping or for stormwater protection requirements that use those chips and things like that. So there's virtually zero waste from that activity. And then when we go out to the other parts of the project, such as plumbing, we pre-manufacture a lot of our plumbing fittings in the facility so that we don't have a lot of waste there. We know exactly how much we need for different cuts, and so you don't have a plumber in the field trying to make the right cut and having to make adjustments. The other part of that is, and so we do that on many things. We do that on plumbing fixtures. We build our own doors. We cut our own cable for pretension slabs. So by making sure that our warehouse is giving us exactly what we need for each individual home and no extra, we're able to minimize our waste. And in areas where we don't have a manufacturing facility, we have the similar requirements for our vendors that supply it. Is, you know, we want exactly what we need. And if we have a house where we have extra pieces and parts, or we need to call out for an extra piece or part, we track that and we make sure that we address, if we see that as a common issue, we address that and find out why are we seeing this issue and how can we resolve it so we don't have any on-the-job waste. So that's the main way we try and reduce our job site waste, and we have very little waste on our sites. It's just the way we've been set up as a manufacturing-type operation. We're continually trying to reduce waste because, frankly, waste is anything that we waste as far as materials, that's just money out of our pocket. It's additional cost of the home. We want to avoid it. It's just good business sense.
Yeah, it's funny. As soon as you kind of take that model on and you realize that you can always save money by either being more efficient or finding something, you know, to make money off your waste, how all of a sudden that mindset changes and it really helps.
Yeah, it goes for everything. Even for our homeowners, you know, we were talking earlier about how we educate them. You know, once you explain to them the cost of homeownership, a green building doesn't just make environmental sense, it makes economic sense. And that's where you can capture the greater volume of people being interested in it.
Absolutely. And I was also wondering, you're kind of wearing a lot of hats over there, and I see Green Building Representative is one of them. And I was wondering, how did you get into that role? You know, there's a lot of companies who are sort of having directors of sustainability and things like that. And for many organizations, the people that are holding those positions now, they're the first one to do it. And I was wondering if that was the case with you and how you kind of positioned yourself to be where you're at.
That's another great question. It's kind of been an organic kind of evolution. My background before I came into home building was environmental consulting. I was an environmental engineer, and I got an interest in green building back when City of Scottsdale started their green building program, and Anthony Floyd was leading that up, and still is today. I took a few classes from him and piqued my interest. And so when I came to Pulte, I worked for a company before Pulte, but when I came to Pulte, I started to find that there was starting to be somewhat of a groundswell of interest in specifically green building. And so we really formed somewhat of an ad hoc committee of folks that were interested from various departments and started looking at, you know, what else can Pulte do to be green, or how do we want to look at this emerging trend of green building? And it was really very interesting because I came into it, frankly, as a skeptic. And I thought, you know, and many other people that I was meeting with thought, we're going to look into this stuff and we're going to really change how this organization works. You know, we're going to make them green. And the reality of the fact was that it already was very green. We kind of said, let's look at all the stuff that we're doing, and we were already doing it. You know, we were already doing Energy Star. We were already building very tight homes and doing a lot of indoor air quality things. And so we said, you know, we need to market this. And really that was the message that we took to our leadership initially was, you know, there's this interest in green building in the industry, and after we started really looking into it, we already meet the criteria, and we need to really let the home buyers know that message early on and use it as part of our focus. And so that really kind of where we caught interest from leadership within the organization to say, yeah, we need to formulate a message around our energy efficiency goals and that sort of thing. So it's just a case of one of those things where I had a personal interest and found people within the organization that had a personal interest in it as well, and we were all very happily surprised to find out that we were already moving in the right direction. And then it just took off from there, and to the point where it no longer was an ad hoc committee, and it was a formal committee, and I got nominated to lead it for this year. So,
well, congratulations on that part. And I can see that the it was already built in. A lot of this was already built in Pulte. Seems that way. I do have a question about training of crews. What activities or actions does your company take to make sure that crews follow through with a lot of these ideas and principles that are promoted by people like yourself and policies that are set up? How do the crews respond to this and the training that goes with it?
Well, on the training, that is one of the benefits of the third-party certification through MASCO and Environments for Living. They mm-hmm. have ongoing educational seminars for vendors and for suppliers and our crews to kind of educate them on how things are supposed to happen and how they're supposed to go together. And then also they follow up with, you know, in the field, talking and developing a relationship with our guys. And really on the biggest thing is on the back end when we're doing these certifications to ensure that we've met the requirements of the program and that we've got a good tight home, that's really the education opportunity. If they find an issue, which is very rare, but it does happen, then we can bring that to their attention and say, this is why we do it a certain way. But that's really where it comes from. And from our vendor standpoint and from our subcontractor standpoint, they're all on board. I don't think that we really have any pushback. In fact, in some cases, they come to us and say, we'd like to look at this or we'd like to try that. Our roofing contractors were some of the first ones to come to us with solar and say, hey, we can do this. You don't need to go out and get a specialty installer and things. We can do this as part of our typical work with Pulte. And so they're on board with us. We've got great subs that know what our objectives are, and over the years they've been right there with us to try and improve our processes.
And Josh, we are at the end of the show. You have been magnificent. Thank you so much for coming on. And why don't you give your website, email, any contact information you would so desire?
Sure. The Pulte website, they're pretty straightforward, www.pulte.com. Del Webb is www.delwebb.com, and Centex is www.centex.com. I hope I spelled those all right.
Yes, you did.
You got an A on the spelling test. Okay.
And well, if anyone wants to contact me, Frank has all my contact information, so feel free, Frank, if someone wants to get a hold of me, to forward that on.
Well, Josh, we really appreciate you the interview, and we'll be in touch with you. We'll give you a phone call, and maybe we can meet.
Great. That'd be fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you, Josh.
Yes,
great.
Thank you.
And
thanks.
I'd like to extend an appreciation to Jackie, who is in the PR department of Pulte.
Yes, she's my trainer.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'd like to express appreciation for her helping this happen.
She's great.
Thank you so much, Josh Hartman, Director of Planning and Development for the Pulte Group. Thank you so much. And with 1 minute left, Eric Koss, get it out really quickly. Contact information, and we'll go around the room.
I'm at Koss Design Build. You can reach us at 602-374-5757.
Glenn Gormley.
Glenn with Infinite Green Solutions. Glenn at cleangreenworld.com.
And Frank Lemon.
Frank at frank3773@msn.com.
I thought you were going to say MSNBC. Okay, anyway, I listen to Keith Olbermann. Anyway, so thank you all. This has been a great, great interview. The Green Roundtable, and you'll be on again next month, the first Tuesday, 3 to 4. Don't miss it. And this Friday, the sports show, we do have Leanne and Craig on again with some special guests. I think we have Dixon Golf on, actually, that day. So everyone have a great week. It's been warmer out here in Phoenix. This is a weather report. And we'll see everyone Friday. Have a great week.
And thank you, Dave.
Thank you so much. Well, that was